Start of interview with H.C. Gunnarvadne. On the 20th of September 1967.
I would like to raise the topic of the land development.
I have an idea of the aims and purposes. But
Exactly, because really the aims and purposes were there. As you know, the land development ordinance is a marvelous piece of social legislation. In this sense, you see, you give the man land, then under that ordinance, you safeguard his interest on it. That is, that land can't be sold or disposed of or rented along the ancient land. So that, you see, it gives him tremendous security where that ordinance is concerned. What really happened was, due to various problems like delays in survey, there also came in the staff problem and things like that, the grants could not be given out as freely as they could have been. Most of them. I should say even still, I think they are speeding up. But most of them are in the permit shape. Now you might have read about this, or many would have told you about it. And a lot of people wants to get ownership. He wants to be owner without any sort of strings attached or Now, once a grant is given, in theory, the DA has certain powers, very limited powers, and he has to pay a rent. But beyond that, there's nothing more.
So, in fact, unconscious, once he gets a grant to build your land,
it's like an outright grant for all practical purposes. Except that he has to pay an annual rent. Now that, shall I say, that sort of, these people used to like this business of having to come every year and paying, or if they don't pay to get a notice and all.
No, in fact, what extent is the money coming over and to get them?
Now that's a separate issue. Shall I skip this part?
Yes.
Now, where that part was concerned, if the people had some kind of dislike to paying, well, the remedy was there. That is, so if they have paid now, people who went throughout from here, if they pay for say 25 years, or pay that in one lump sum, well, they would have been told after this no more rent. That was the simple job. I am sure if that was done, the man would have, I think, would have fighted for that. See, now what has happened is, they have adjusted the, they want to amend the law. They have amended it yet. It's in the process of, I think it's either there, it's still in the process of, we draft the law.
In the final stage, I remember when I left the Land Commission Department, I said, now, under that, the man is supposed to be eligible for what is known as an outside grant. We, for many encumbrances, any sort of control, if he pays up certain monies,
etc.
Yeah, allow them to sell the land and do sell the land.
Whereas under the existing ordinance, there are the principles that if the man has a place to stay, then the man has to secure a place to stay.
If you want it, serving
can be looked after. They have something to do. One objection to the ordinance was that they should nominate only one person. But there's provision that it's a unit, so long as it's not fragmented, that is, unless it's a, what you might call an uneconomic unit, he can divide it up into two or three parcels and have different successors.
Yes, but then can the successor divide
these?
It depends on the law. On what is provided point, that you can't go beyond the minimum factor, minimum extent. Now, in the present law, the proposed amendment also provides for that minimum. They propose trying to retain that because they don't want this, undivided ownership plan, uneconomic unit and things like that.
But one thing, to suppose this condition. No, they realize that it gives them security and they have virtual.
I feel that it has not been explained to them properly. There are some, there are some persons who have been selected who are probably not deserving. Then there are some who probably due to more particular circumstances, maybe that they are the children who are now secured employment outside, want to leave the area. So they feel that when they have this new law, they can sell it and go off. But that's a matter that could have been catered for. I personally think that.
I don't think that I was wondering whether the fact that they consider this a type of default means that they dislike it and they think it's not ours. Whereas in fact all they have to do is conform to the minimum requirements and they quite
Now even a permit, you can't just cancel. Mostly that the man will agree, but far better to go through that man. I don't think you should be, if you are afraid of going to go, that you have done something wrong. I mean, sometimes it may be your omission, but my personal view is that you mustn't decide to have your omission exposed.
But to what extent are they?
Because if you go after only a little bit, you can invariably to cancel allotments, the majority of allotments that have been cancelled are visible from non-residents and they are more or less given up. But they are landing on the land with a permit. Generally that doesn't happen. Then we notice. Now when you speak of Andhra, you have to the Padikadri. But I, as land commissioner, I said this. There no harm in the sense of land, they mean that he gets a man to help him to cultivate. So it depends, you take each case on its own. Much depends on the officer. So you must take a practical view. Now when you speak of leasing, for example, you can't say they'll say alienate in any form without the permission of the land commissioner or the government agent. So that the question you raised about giving it out on Sunday is also a violation. The violation of the original is also nothing. But then we must take the practical aspect now. He does want a system because he gets people in power. I mean, if he engages a person on a share basis, I mean, he's probably on par with his engaging a person on a wage basis.
But the point is, under every whole view, is that under undercultivation, it's slip of the man who cultivates it.
It's no interest, not an
interest. So, on that basis, it's bad.
Well, actually, but this under the in the permit or grant, I think there's a requirement that he should do the cultivation to the satisfaction of the government agent. You know, there are clauses like that. So, if you notice that the land is not giving enough yield, you can inquire into that and see what are the causes. And then deal with the problem. I mean, that is there is provision for whether it is practicable or not, I can't say, but my view used to be that it's there, that sort of thing. If you get it, take one or two places, you see, and deal with the fellow that day you mean business, and let's respond.
What would officers say to do if the chap has?
Due to others, then you know, yeah, you're not been able to. But actually, yes, a number of people, some are really defaulted. You know, people who are really either encroaching on someone. Yeah. But ordinary, healthy or not is ordinary. And invariably, a lot of petitioners of fail. The people who are encroaching on land, or people like you, that undercultivated, like you mentioned, who have been harassed now by the owner, because probably he felt this man is becoming a bit too strong. I was wondering why is it tend to take up and sometimes you have a risk of their own unpopularity. Now sometimes there is a view that they will be like to make the way an appointment. Even they are a local appointment. Now by sponsoring ALK, he is incurring the displeasure of our own army and about the denotral. I mean, if the denotral is not only the denotral, their own relations and people and that. But for some reason, I don't know this. The theory seems to me that the MP feels he is under obligation to this fellow and has to do something.
Coming back to this LDO, I know there has been outcry against and demand for outright grants and things like that. I wonder how general that demand. I wonder if there are any adults in the area that there are some children who prefer
it. Realize the full implication. And when it is a demand, I think there are a few vociferous fellows who, you know, say we want this and we want that, and don't you know, and I know now some of these and people have gone on and told me that you amend the law, you'll be able to collect a lot of money. Because you see, the idea was, now particularly in those colonial offices, the idea was that if a man pays up the amount spent for the development of the land, plus say the house or whatever, I mean, the limit, he could get the outright grant. So in some instances, he came to the 5,000 rupees, maybe a little more. So they said, oh, you know, we're very organized business and we'll take the outright grant. And so this got a minister also, either was taken in or appeared to be taken in. But I mentioned that if, I mean, a same man won't do that. If you have the 5,000 rupees to get this outside grant, I could invest in 2 acres, private land, and still continue this land with 100 rupees a month, you think. So I would have that income. Plus this land or on a lease of 100 rupees. Don't you think? And if, then no. No, it's only a fool who would, if he has 5,000-6,000 rupees, rushing to pay them to government to take this outside grant.
When he already has some sort of security.
He has a security, and with that 5,000 which he has, probably he doesn't know what to do with. He goes, yeah. But of course, under this amendment, there's also provision that when you pay over a few years, when you can't pay at once and take the land, when you pay over a number of years, you get it on outside will.
You know, they want the money urgently.
I mean the credit point of view.
Yes, sometimes credit, no. Also when they sell the package, soon after the harvest, there are many obligations. So, when it is not worth the farm, please. Then, other rackets pay.
But isn't that a failure elsewhere? I mean,
Not in there. My personal view is that you have to, I mean, if the man wants a loan, you give him value. I got a block of land, But I think worth giving me a loan, maybe a little bit of money. And then at the harvest, to the company, I was not paying for it. If my harvest was successful, they should go to court again. If I am not honorable enough, but that doesn't mean
regarding the ordinance itself, you know, the words, phraseology and the sections and so forth, did you feel it was a bit too complicated and too detailed?
Now, for example, this is now supposing that the law has to pay a rent of the citizen. You still have to go through the process of serving an order under God's protection. Then that you need him, all the inquiries, and then you find him, you cancel the election. Then you have to serve the other notice cancelling within some period you have to appeal. Then when he appeals, you have to send a report. Certainly, all that nonsense. So really, also sometimes when you serve the notice and he appeals, he came and paid the money, then of course he has paid, there's nothing wrong. So there's one fairly useful amendment in the law. That is at the permit stage, the man then pays the rent. You serve a notice, and then you can find the fellow.
Oh, that's the amendment suggested?
Yes.
Not being implemented?
Not yet, not.
In fact, I was wondering whether the question of punishing is under I was wondering whether officers are reluctant to punish these people because the only form of punishment is arrest, and they feel that it's too serious for shackling type of support.
Yeah.
Perhaps a system of fine where you feel like shackling
and
of course, those are cases they must punish them.
Because finding difficulty, okay? And of course, a lot depends on the officer, all of them. Now, this is his ordinance. One would visualize it as you are the by missionary type of officers, you know, who don't understand with any personal benefit. I told him I'm rather surprised because I said that I want them. And I mean, then they talk, they find some to fight for me, they sort of, not that they fight, but don't you know, they talk quite freely and they say, no, we are not going to do this, and they are quite independent. Yes, they are quite independent. I mean, I quite agree that they should be. So I said, I'm not surprised for you to say that. Junior officer,
Therefore, the only way of preventing it is to keep a
people. Actually, you have now what is the staff you have. They can have a very good knowledge of opening that country. You know, very good army of field officers.
That's district land officers?
No, they are operating from the country.
Yes,
so they have that. Then in the field you have the, what they call the squadrons of ABO officers.
Do they even go into village expansion schemes?
Yeah, that's their function, village expansion scheme.
Colonization
officers for that colony. Now he really is a man who, if he destiny is birth, should make a study of every colonist, you think. But I used to keep registered, having a page for each colonist. So, you know, record this. I told them, but I think later, when I came a land commissioner, a couple of years later, after that, I sent down a direction, I said, that every colonization officer must have like a doomsday book. Where he has a few pages for each colony, where he records, you know, the family particulars, then the type of income he gets, this harvest, very useful for a study of how the colony is working. It would be very useful if they maintain
it. I didn't know.
Going against that, therefore it's not worth it. People will
try to get round.
But I was
wondering if you realize that this man is being an installation
of women's students.
Yes,
because he had that.
That happens in some extent in the older scheme.
It was what happened was, in the old days, in those days, in the time, they used to get people from Japan and so they found, you know, Indonesia conditions and all, I think. So they just kept the man there to discuss it.
Like the name of the district.
Nowadays, no one bothers about that.